Name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for the privilege to pray and praise. Thank you for the atmosphere of your love and grace. This morning we receive eyes to see, our heart to receive your word by your spirit. We receive communication in precision, revelation in accuracy, insight for the light and wisdom in your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you ready for a nice time? To hear the word. Amen. All right. This morning, we'll just continue where we stopped and started last week. We're doing a series on curses. Someone say curses? Okay, let's say curses. Say curses. And then when you have an R, you go R. Say curses. It's not a Greek word, it's an English word. Say curses. All right. So we're looking at curses, cursed, and cursing. What does it mean to be cursed in the scriptures, and what does the Bible teach about it? That's what we're trying to learn. And it's a, like I told you, it's a preliminary teaching for something I want to teach in October, a seminar actually, Law in Genesis. I want to investigate some controversial issues in the Bible, but this is the background, so you can understand that. You know, before you get to nursery school, primary school, you should be in nursery school. Am I right? Were you in nursery school? Some of you just say, Before you go to secondary school, you have to be in the primary school. So before we get to one, we need to treat the other. So last week we began curses. Alright, that's what they say. Curses, cursing, and cursed. So I said, which one is mine? Wait for it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, praise the Lord, verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise even unto salvation, as unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's how some people answer their questions in LTP every time. Praise the Lord. Alright, so we said to study means to research. And before you study the Bible, because 2 Timothy 3:2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Last week we said you must read the entire contents of the Bible. Can you remember that? Come on, guys, can you remember that? The entire contents of the Bible. You can selectively read the scriptures. You must read the entire content. So when you read the entire contents, then you bring everything within context. That is, you bring it within the context of what you are talking about. That was, you can study the Bible per subject, but it's wise and advisable to study the whole book first. Now, when you study the whole book first, then you can now refer to certain contexts. You understand? So you must read the whole Bible. And also, we said, you must study the whole Bible contextually. Don't forget that context is king. That is, you must stick to the context of the discussion. Most of the time, we bring in, someone was telling me, I did something on Facebook, on sit time and habits. How many of you saw it? You saw it? You didn't see it. What did you go do on Facebook? Alright, so, and then someone said, well, can't we just decide to just say, well, because this is talking about seed and harvest, can we just apply it? I said, no, you can't apply it. You must bring it in the context of the discussion. In Genesis 8:22, he wasn't talking about sowing money or giving anything. He was talking about weather, because it said seed time, harvest, winter and summer, night and day, cold and heat. So that's definitely not talking about giving or talking about doing good deeds. It's talking about the weather. Do you understand? So basically, you must always look at things in their context, not just try to marry issues together. So you must say, what is it saying in here? That's important. Then we said, you must also understand in studying that there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament as well. So, the Old Testament is defined. Look at Hebrews 1:1. Very vital this morning. You see that? Hebrews 1:1. It says, quickly. God, who has sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That was sundry times and divers manners. Now, sundry times means in different periods, all right? Divers manners means in partial revelation. So, just like saying in types and shadows. It says in the Old Testament, God spoke in different times, and he now spoke in different ways. Alright, that's the Old Testament for you. Now, Hebrews 10:1, it says the law, referring to the Old Testament, is a shadow. So, it's a shadow. It's a shadow of what? Of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. So, it says the Old Testament is a shadow, and not the very image of the things. So we have the Old Testament has shadows. The Old Testament has types and shadows, figures of speech. All right. Now, also go to Luke 24, verse 25. It says that Jesus is talking to his folks, and we said it's an exact Bible study. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And begin at Moses, that's Genesis, and all the prophets, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So, now look at this. He said concerning, himself. So, that means, Bible study means to see things in Christ. He says, he showed them the things concerning himself. Just look at verse 44 to 46. He says, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So, notice this. He read the whole Bible. He went through the whole Bible, just like the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. He read the whole Bible to them. That's a Bible study. And then he came out with a singular revelation, himself. That's from Genesis to Malachi. He showed them a singular revelation, and that revelation is himself. Now notice what he says. He says, all things must be fulfilled. In other words, he shows you that that means the Old Testament had promises. The Old Testament had types and shadows. He is the reality and the fulfillment of the promises and the types and shadows. So in Bible study, the first rule is do not jump into conclusions. Don't jump into conclusions. Don't jump into conclusions. Don't say, well, it must be saying this. You must never read your thoughts into the Bible. You know, there's something people say, they say, well, the Holy Spirit, this is what they say, the Holy Spirit showed me, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me personally in the Bible. Well, the truth is this, and I tell folks, when you say things like that, sometimes it may be innocent, but you have to realize that the Bible is already inspired of the Holy Spirit. What we call the Bible are already the words of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's no way that those words would change when he's talking to you. There's no way. For instance, well, what about my personal revelation? Well, in case I was talking to someone, I said, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. They're, yes. I said, what if I come to you and I say, the Holy Spirit told me that Jesus is dying for our sins. He said, that would be rubbish. I said, exactly, it's rubbish. It has to be rubbish. Because we both know that what I just said is not written. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? It's not written. So, rather than try to think and import your own thinking into it, we must seek to understand what is written. Do you understand that? You must seek to understand what is written. What is written already? So, be patient. Don't be in a hurry. Make sure that you understand the meanings of the words. Alright? Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved. Now, that was study actually in the Greek means to be diligent. Diligent means to be diligent. Amen. Is that true? Diligent has to be hard work, right? Consistency. You can't understand the Bible if all you do is read it on a Sunday morning. I was telling someone, I said, we were discussing, and he said, I really can't understand. He said, you must study it over and over again. I said, on a daily basis, I'm not trying to boast, but on a daily basis, I study the Bible between 4 to 5 hours daily, that's the minimum. Maybe in the last 24 hours, I must have studied the Bible about 10 hours more. So, definitely, when I communicate, when we communicate, because you don't study what I'm talking about, it'll take you a while. Is that not true? All right. So, you must be diligent. You must be consistent. You must read the whole Bible. You must study everything. It's not, the Bible is not a big book. No. It's a small material. It's a small material. You just find time to study it. Some of us watch movies, part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4. Some of us watch games on Saturdays, Premiership games. You watch Southampton, you Google watch Leicester. You watch Chelsea, you still want to know what man you played. The same day. But when you come to church, you think the service was fast. A typical football game is 90 minutes, right? Right? 90 minutes with 15 minutes extra time. That's how many? 105 minutes. That's almost 2 hours. If I ask you to sit down and hear the word for 2 hours, you'll be grumbling. The bomb will be moving. Why now? You should calm down now. We can't do everything today. How come you want to play the whole game that day? It's because you are not a serious-minded Christian. That's all. You're not a serious-minded, or some people are not even Christians. So you need to study it and be diligent. Hallelujah. So in study, you are patient. I told you years back, I was a very poor Bible student. So I read a verse of scripture that says, touch not a woman. 1 Corinthians 7. So I wasn't the one that taught this sister. She touched me. She touched my hand. She touched my hand and I took my hand to the Lord for sanctification. I was just stupid. Touch not a woman. The woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus. Man who touched Jesus. Isn't that crazy? That's what it was saying, because I wasn't ready to study it. I just said, touch not the woman. Praise the Lord. So you must study, alright? And you must seek to understand what is written. Is that clear? Is that clear? Alright, so you study it contextually, you study the whole contents, and then you study it in the light of Christ, then you also pay attention to the language that was used. To the language, sometimes when you see figure of speech, realize the figure of speech. When the Bible says, for instance, that you baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire, you don't expect to see fire service in every service. It isn't talking about fire, matchboxes, or kerosene, or petrol, no. For instance, when he talks about being born of water and the Spirit, he's not saying that whenever you want to get born again, look for a river and you dump yourself in there, you'll be born of the water. That's not what he's saying. So you must pay attention to know the details. Is that clear? Good. Some of us read love letters over and over again. My wife kept a letter I wrote her in 98. I saw it when I was looking through her box. I said, this woman is a very difficult woman. She keeps these words written and engraving. That old writing. You know, if I was lying, and I was in trouble because she kept it. So, you know, that's quite funny. We keep love letters. We read it again and again. 50 years after, we're reading it. Ah, the love of my life. But the letter God wrote you. Amen. You know, really, you're not even particular. Just say, for God loved the world that he gave, and we believe. Amen. But the guy, you are the apple of my apple. Sugar tea. Let me read it again. Apollo. Hallelujah. All right, we're looking at curses, right? That's where we are. Genesis 3:14, in Bible study, there's something called the law of the first mention. When was the word curse first mentioned in the Bible? It always helps you to know. If you know why it was mentioned, it lets you know the flow of thoughts when the word curses are discussed. Are you there? Are you there? So last week, Genesis 3:14, the very first time, curse was used. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of your life. Then again you see in verse 17, it says, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and so thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Are you there? Alright, so we said that's the law of fourth mention. Now, the first time curse was used in the past tense. That is, you are cursed. It was a pronunciation. I was saying last week, it definitely shows something happened and God was explaining what happened. He was pronouncing what happened. He didn't say, and God cursed. He said, God said, thou art cursed. That's important. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So God was stating the terms of their situation. He was stating their condition to them. So, that's the first thing we discovered last week. Now, we saw several words used for curse, and two stood out. Ara, A-W-R-A-R, A-W-R-A-R, and qualal, Q-L-A-L, two key words. And we said, those words, now, we found out something last week. We said, 80%, no more than that, 85% of the term curse, were used where? In the Old Testament. That's instructive. So the word curse, or cursings, was prominent in which books of the Bible? The Old Testament books of the Bible. That's, now if you're a serious Bible student, that already sets you thinking. Is that clear? It sets you thinking. Okay, so we said also that the word cursing means to prevent from. Some Latin English dictionaries would call it to empower to fail. Now you can empower someone to fail. It also means to make difficult. Extricate. To make difficult. To make things difficult. So to prevent, to make things difficult, it also means to make things impossible. So when you have cursed, you must be cursed from something. Are you listening? Are you listening? You are prevented from something, something is difficult to achieve. Okay? It also means you can't reach a possibility. So there must be a curse must have a background. That is, there must, for instance, you can't have death without life. You can't have darkness without light. Are you still there? You cannot have death without life. There must be life for there to be death. Are you listening? There must be light before you have darkness. Okay? So, that sets the background to think. Because we did that last week. We went through all the words and we saw where they were. Now, today, we move a step further. So, what did God say? God said, you are cursed. That's what he said. He didn't say, I am cursing you. Notice the tenses. You are cursed. How many of you have ever had your lecturer say, you failed? Now you can say, he failed me. You get that? He failed me. Why did he fail? Because he asked you for. There was a cousin of mine who said a lecturer failed him in school because he didn't give a lecturer a shoe. I said, so you will use it was a whole year in school. You won't go to law school because of a shoe. What kind of shoe is it? Yeah, go get a shoe for him. Praise the Lord. So, but the man says, you have failed. Not that he made you fail, but you did what? You failed. Sometimes we don't like the truth, do we? Remember some folks like that. They took a medical school examination, and they didn't pass the examination. So nobody was telling them the truth. Everybody was saying, oh, why did they do that to you? Oh, what kind of a school is it with all you read? So I'd heard all that. And so I heard about this. So I went to see them. I said, the first thing I said, I let you fail. They didn't hear that in weeks. I said, I let you fail. It's time to buckle up, all right? So sit up for the next examination, okay? And they said, oh, true. We failed. I said, those folks are no longer your mates. They are now your seniors. Your mates are the ones you failed to stay in their class. You get that? So, we failed. Now, did I fail them? I only told them that they failed. Because they had already failed. Whether I told them or not, make no difference. They had failed. So God said, you are cursed because they were cursed. Is that clear? Do you understand that? You are cursed because they were cursed. Okay. Now, follow this. So God pronounced it. He did not make it happen. Didn't let it. Adam. I can't say that on tape, right? So you know what I just did. Or God say, where are you, Adam? They didn't do that. He just told them what had happened. Now you are the only one laughing. Anybody listening to the CD wouldn't know what I did. Alright, so he told them what had happened. Now notice last week, if you were around, we studied the book of Genesis and we said we cannot rely on that account. Can you remember that? We can't rely on that account. We're going to use the account, but the account doesn't have all the facts. Look at Hebrews 8. Now, Hebrews 8 shows us how those things were documented, how they were written. Are you still there? Are you there? Now, we just heard Hebrews 1:1, God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoken time past to our fathers by the prophets. Amplified says, in partial revelation. So, whatever we read in Genesis is not a lie. It's just not the whole fact. Are you there? You know, we saw that last week. Can you remember that? The serpent, the tree, the fruit. Can you remember all that? Come on, guys. Can you remember that? Okay, good. So, it's not the whole fact. Now, in Genesis, in Hebrews 8, verse 5, this is how God, the Father, communicated the facts to Moses. Now, one of the facts, look at this, when Moses went to the mountain, he says, "We serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things." As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, "For see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." So, we said, there's a key word there, the word shadow. The word shadow is the Greek word skia, S-K-I-A. Skia implies something. Anywhere you see the word skia used, there is a surrounding darkness. There is a surrounding darkness. It means to have light amidst darkness. Old Greek writers would call it an adumbration. That is, you can't have the whole picture. So you have a thick darkness is seen, lesser light is used for a shade. A shade. You know, lesser light. There's lesser light in what he saw. That's why when Moses was building the temple, he couldn't have gotten it exactly, because what he had to picture what he saw. So what did he do? He got the holiest of all. He created this, he created that, and he made this, and he said, alright, there's an outer court, there's an inner court, and then he put this one, put the golden lampstand, he put this one, you know, because that's, you see, whatever he did in the temple was because he was in a shadow. He couldn't see everything. But when we come to the New Testament about the Holy Spirit, those were the steps Jesus took to redeem us, not a house. But he could only come up with a building, whereas what happened were the actions of Jesus. But he came up with a building. So the minute Jesus died on the cross, alright, the temple had its curtains, its twain, curtains of the temple was torn into two, and that was the end of the temple. Why? Because Jesus had fulfilled the steps. Are you listening? So how he could see it, he would see the blood put on the mercy seat. He saw physical blood put on the mercy seat. But when we saw what Jesus did, Jesus actually was the one who sat down. Praise the Lord. So you can see, you can never get the true picture in the shadow. Look, we did a story like last night, right? New Testament, Old Testament in Christ. Can you remember that? Thank you. All right, try to remember. So he couldn't have seen the entire picture. Because now it's not that God didn't want him to see it. No. God is light. He will always communicate reality. But the recipient is not enabled to receive it. He can only function in the environment that he was. So he, that Moses, couldn't have gotten all the facts. He couldn't have seen it. Acts 5:15, the word scares used for Peter's shadow. Peter's shadow is not Peter. Huh? Talk to me. Is that true? Peter will be light. His shadow will be what? Dark. That's what's scary. Acts 5:15. Peter's shadow is not Peter. But Peter's shadow points to Peter. But you can never get, you know, you want to draw me. Some folks have done that. I think Remy has done that, right? You drew me one time, I gave it back to you. So in Jesus' name, I'd metamorphosed. So you get someone say, well, now imagine Remy himself, he's very light. Come here. He's so light, shines in darkness, darkness can't comprehend him. So he's like this. Now I want to draw him. I'm not looking at him. Why is he this tall? You know, yes, I'm getting a figure of him, but I'm not giving you the true picture of him. For instance, I can't get a yellow tie. Sorry, the yellow shirt. Can I get in the shadow? What about the... What make you think? Alright. What about the... You know, sporting ways. He's a man of God, you know. It's you. Don't look at it. Come on, look up! Preparation for the gospel of peace. I can get his belt, can I? No? And his fine face. Thank God for sisters. Go sit down. Praise God. I can get that. But I will have an idea. Are you there? So that's how you are when you're trying to know everything in the book of Genesis. You wouldn't get the color of the tie there, would you? Would you get it? No. That's why most of the books you read about Genesis had a snakey talking to Adam and Eve. How many of you will yield to a temptation by a snake? You say, shh, shh.
Let's go, Sam.
And he said, hey! Charlie! And then you see a tree, say, eat it. And you eat apple. Hey! Then your eyes are open. You say, ah! That's not ordinary apple. That's what Moses could put together. Amen. Are you there? So, are you following this? So the shadow never gives you the true picture. Never does. It's not the very image of the things. Hebrews 10:1. It's not the very image. Just like I did this description now. It's not the very image. So, now we want to see what Moses did not see. Hallelujah. Moses! Yes, Moses. There were things he didn't see. Or he could not see. Better, you know, it's better to say he couldn't see them. He couldn't have seen them. Moses couldn't see them. Why? Because he was Moses. Look at Luke 10. Jesus said that. Luke 10. Verse 23. Let's start from 21. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seems so good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. That's quite an important information. We're going to see that much later. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see. Let's take 24 together. Let's go. For I tell you that many prophets and kings. Hold on. Which prophets now? Prophets Balogun in Lagos. Which prophets? The prophets of the Old Testament. And kings. Follow this. Prophets and kings with desire to do what? See the things which you see, but have not seen them. And you hear the things which you hear, but I haven't heard them. Are you there? They couldn't see them. That's what you said. They couldn't see them. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13. 17. For many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them. Are you still there? Ephesians 3 and 5. Send another Elijah, Lord, and let your fire fall. One Elijah is enough. Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery which I wrote afore in few words. That word mystery is the word mysterion, an open secret. Open secret. That is, it was open, but it was a secret. They couldn't see it. It was spoken, but they didn't see it. They didn't understand it. Mysterion. It takes revelation. The opposite of mysterion, mystery, is revelation. And revelation is the key word in the New Testament. Are you still there? Alright, follow this. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Let's take verse 5 together. Well, let's go. Which in other ages, not other times. Let's take it again. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his spirit. Are you still there? 1 Corinthians 2:9. I have not seen, nor hear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Are you there? So, it's not possible to rely on the account of Moses alone. But Moses' account can lead us somewhere. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you following this? So there are things Moses didn't see. There are things the authors of the Old Testament didn't see or couldn't see. The first thing they couldn't see, they couldn't see the gravity of God's promise clearly. They couldn't see it. The gravity of God's promise. Clearly. Jesus said, notice what we read earlier, Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25 to 27. He said, he began from where? Moses, the book of Genesis. And to Malachi, and he showed them the things concerning who? Concerning who? Himself. The things concerning himself. So there were things Moses wrote that were about Jesus, but he didn't mention Jesus. Come on, are you following this? Or Christ Jesus? He didn't do that. For instance, look at Titus 1:2. Titus 1:2. Are you listening? Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So God promised what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Life eternal. So where do you find that? Now, Jesus said something to those folks in Luke's Gospel 24-25. He said, all fools. So the Holy Ghost can say fool. Right? Come on. God can say fool. All fools, slow of heart. That's what he said. Slow of heart to understand. So, it means folks were slow to understand. It wasn't what was said that wasn't clear. It was their level of what? Understand. So, slow to understand all that the prophets had spoken. But you know what? 1 Corinthians 1:30. Go there. Christ has been made known or been made unto us wisdom. Say, Christ is my wisdom. Say, Christ is my wisdom. So, we have a heart to understand. He's been given to us as wisdom, which is where you have the word Sophia, insight. That is, Christ has become what? Our insight into the mysteries of God. Say, Christ is my insight. Oh, say like me. Say, Christ is my insight. Oh, say again, Christ is my insight. Okay, so that means in our spirit, we are not slow. No, we are not. Because he says in chapter 2, verse 16, who hath known the mind of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 2, that he may instruct him. But we have what? We have what? The mind of Christ. That word mind of Christ is not used for biology. I have the mind of Christ. The word mind of Christ there means understanding. An understanding of Christ, or better say, an explanation of Christ. You know, one day, a guy was going for an exam. He said to me, I confess I'm the just. He said, the Bible says the memory of the just blessed. I said, huh? Ha. That's used for memorial service. He was talking about when a just man dies. It's his memory. His memory is blessed. Memory, past, blessed, present. Hallelujah. I went for a teaching meeting years back, 2004. And the theme was, my change has come. And I kind of wonder, how can a whole body of pastors pick a theme and nobody was thinking? And he gave Job 14:14. So I got on the pulpit and I said, because I love you, I want you to do 14:14. Let's use it together. My change has come, make my death has come. Brethren, let's be careful what we say. I say I prefer 2 Corinthians 3:18. And they said they must have prayed. The Holy Spirit gave us a theme. If you had decided to choose the theme yourself, you wouldn't have been misled by the Holy Spirit. If you have studied very well, the Holy Spirit will mislead you. That's a figure of speech, have you? You understand that? So Christ is our wisdom. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Ephesians 3, we read that, 3 to 5. It says that Revelation is now written, right? It's written now. Right? It's written. We can read it and what? Understand. Praise the Lord. Alright. Look at 2 Peter 3. Say, God's wisdom is mine. in Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. We account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. As Peter speaking. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him as written unto you. Look at that wisdom, insight. Also, in all his epistles, speaking some of those things, which are some things that are hard to be understood, with they that are unlearned and unstable, rest as they do the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So, wisdom is insight. So, we have the insight of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord. Look at John 16. You see, if you are lazy at reading the whole Bible, you will be lazy to understand anything. In John 16, Jesus put a caveat on his entire teaching ministry. After all the years of seminars and conferences, this is what he said. He said, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. How did he say that? I have yet many things to say unto you. He didn't say you cannot bear them. That means we just put our hands on our head and just wait till we get to heaven. He said you cannot bear them now because he's talking to the 12. He had not gone to die. He had not given us the Holy Spirit. So this was a legitimate statement. You cannot bear them now. That's why 13 says, how be it? When the Spirit of truth is come, that's upon his resurrection, he will guide you into what? All truth. That word is all of the truth. Praise the Lord. So say all of the truth. Okay. Look at Matthew 13 again. Matthew 13 and then verse 10. You wonder why did Jesus use parables? They asked him. His disciples asked him. They said, Master, why do you speak unto them in parables? As though they were different. Why do you speak to them in parables? That word parable, now listen carefully, is the word parabolais. I'll spell it for you. P-A-R-A-B-O-L-A-I-S. P-A-R-A-B-O-L-A-I-S. It's used 12 times in this context. 12 times. It's used, the word parabolais means a figure of speech, a comparison, an analogy, a comparison, a figure of speech, an analogy. Now, let me say this. That word parable is in Greek history was used to teach, to teach people who were of lesser intelligence. That's the word parable is. That's what it means. Of lesser intelligence. That is people you cannot communicate facts to directly. You have to make comparison and analogies. So, some of you are quiet because you like parables a lot. Of lesser intelligence. That's the way it was used because that word was used before Jesus used it. So, when he used it, when the disciples said what they said, he understood what they meant because that's the meaning of the word parable. It means analogies. But it was used originally to teach people of less intelligence, or sometimes to teach kids, children who have not developed their intellect. Are you still there? Now, so Jesus said, because, now, how did he answer that question? That's vital. We must know, how did he answer that question? He said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and to them it is not given. And that's clear enough. Is that clear? Is that clear? So parables can never convey the entire truth. They can. To know, hoida in the Greek, that is for you to be conscious and fully aware. But for them it is not given. Because in seeing they can see, in hearing they can hear. Hence the use of parables. Someone listening? Are you listening? And you know, Jesus' teaching ministry majorly was in parables. Come on guys, are you there? That's why he said you can't bear them now. Now follow this. In John 16:12, he said you can't bear them now. That word bear them now is a word in the Greek bastazo, B-A-S-T-A-Z-O. It means you don't have the ability. You don't have the strength. is used one more time. In Romans 15:1, you remember that? It says, let those who are strong bear what? The infirmities of the weak. That means to bear them means you must have the ability, the strength. So he's saying today you don't have the ability now. But when the Spirit of Truth is come, that means the Spirit of Truth will be what? The ability. Are you there? To see and to understand these things. So, 1 John 2:20. Go there. 1 John 2:20. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. 2:27. But the anointing which is in the bottle, what version do you use? The anointing oil which you have received of Him, the anointing which you have received of Him abides in the bottle. Abides where? Abides where? Say, I have an anointing in me. I know all things. You need not any man teach you again. Teach you but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and this truth. And it's no lie. Even as I taught you, you shall abide in Him. Praise the Lord. Are you there? So we have the ability. Now say, I have the ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Say, I have the ability to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's good. Now look at first John again, John 16:25. After Jesus said, you cannot bear them now, in John 16:25, I want us to read it together, John 16:25. If you're there, say amen. Now he uses the word here peromais. That is P-E-R-O-M-A-I-S. It says, these things have I spoken to you in Proverbs. Peromais is the word Proverbs. It means figures of speech. That word peromais is the word dark speeches, analogies. I've spoken to you in figures of speech. But the time comes, I shall no longer speak unto you in figures of speech, but I will show you what? Oh, you don't lose that. I'll show you what? Plainly the Father. That means until then, the Father wasn't known clearly. Come on. Are you following this? He said, I'll show you plainly. So until then, He wasn't known plainly. Look at 26. Let's take 26 here. Let's go. 26, let's go. At that day, everybody, let's go again. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I will not say unto you that I pray the Father for you. That means there will be no intermediary. Are you there? Look at 27. For the Father loves you because you have loved me, and I believe that I came out from God. So he's saying that at that day, you won't hear things anymore in figures of speech. You will plainly see the Father. So can we all see that it is absolutely impossible to know God through the Old Testament? Who agrees with me? Let me share. Do you agree with that? Come on. That means, because you don't know Him, there will be things that they will say that God did that He didn't do. Because if you don't see everybody on the scene, and something happens, and you didn't see everybody, you're trying to picture everybody, and then the serpent runs away. And then God, He is Shammah, is ever present. You say God did it. Oh, we'll talk about that later. Praise the Lord. You say God did it. Because you were not available to know the person who just ran away. Figure of speech. I gave figure of speech now. For a reason. So, Jesus said, I spoke in dark speeches. But in that day, and that's the day of the church, the day of redemption, you will plainly see the Father. So, that shows us it's only Christ that can reveal the Father to us. How many can remember Matthew 17? When the transfiguration, and the Bible shows us that there was Elijah and who else? Moses. They were talking. And then he said, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to him. So listen to Jesus. Tell everybody, listen to Jesus. Amen. Don't be Mosesian or an Elishashian. I believe in the God of Elijah. Amen. Elijah didn't even know that God well. Hear Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? So we are discouraged. You mean I'll have to hear Jesus only? What about different revelations? I want to hear what Esther has to say. Hear Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright, let's go. So, in Romans 5, so, number one, we said, Moses didn't see what God promised. He couldn't have seen it. Now, what else he didn't see? Moses, in Romans 5:12, look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for all have sinned. You know, last week we said Moses didn't mention sin. Okay? Sin entered into the world. That word entered is something we need to take care of quickly. The word entered, I know you know it. A second mind. Some of you wrote it when it wasn't even asked. E-I-S-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. It means something to come from the outside. So that means there was no sin till it entered. Sin wasn't created till it entered. It came from the outside. So Genesis 1 and 2, there was no sin. It had to come in. It came from the outside. Through one man, sin came into the world. So there was no sin in the world until it came through one man. So, in Genesis 1 and 2, what happened? God placed the man in dominion over the earth. Is that true? Is that true? So, sin could only have entered through one man. Sin didn't enter through God. He said, through God, sin entered into our lives. Said, through one man, sin entered into the world, and then what happened? Death by sin. So I said death by sin. Now open your, if you lose this one, I'll just pack my Bible and I'll go home. Not a threat. So sin entered. Now what happened? What came with sin? Huh? That word death by sin means to carry along. That means there are two, but you will see one, alright, sin. You will see one personality, but there are two. Death by sin. So, death came with sin. Death didn't first, sin didn't first come and say, oh, now I'm here. Oh, let me go and call death. That is, death came with sin. Are you there? Come on, watch this. So, what was the curse? Don't forget, a curse is what? Something that prevents you from, right? That makes things difficult. Okay? Impossible. Extricates you. It puts you in a web. So what's the curse? See. God has said it. Genesis 2:16. What's the sin? Right? So, eating the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a sin. Is that correct? Is that correct? Alright. So, death came by sin. Genesis 2:16. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou, shall not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt die. So what is the curse? Oh, you expected that as they ate the tree, and the fruit altogether, you shall die. So, when God was talking to Adam, Eve, and the serpent, were they dead? Were they cursed? Were they dead? Were they cursed? Yes. Were they dead? No. I like you to be thinking. Alright? Were they dead? No. No. They were very much alive. Just about to die. God said, you are cursed. Now, can we change that word to you are dead? Now you went quiet. What entered by sin? Can we change it to the curse? Go back to Romans 5. Let's see who and who was dead. You still don't believe in the New Testament. Many of us do not believe. We have this. They are not contradictory. It's explanatory. Do you understand? Romans 5 and 12. Through one man. Who is the man? For so that we know we are on the same page. Jesus. Eh? Who? G.E.J. Abacha. Hitler. Who? Thank you. Sin and death by sin. So death passed upon how many? Or it didn't start with Adam. He went to Cain and Abel. For all had sinned. Let's take 13 together. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but it was not imputed when there is no law. Let's take 14. Let's go. Nevertheless, death reigned from who? To who? Was Moses dead? Was Moses dead? Was Abraham dead? What about Noah? Enoch? Jesus. Isaac? Joseph? Everybody is dead. The death there definitely wasn't a physical extinction, but a spiritual separation. Do you understand? Is that clear? Ephesians 2, verse 1. So a man can be dead and he's talking. True? How now? Delete the Bible. Ephesians 2, 1. You, as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walking through disobedience, among whom also we all had, according to time past, the fruit of the loss of our flesh, the fruit of the eyes of the mind, and the flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. I actually didn't open to the verse. I confess my sins. I'm not reading the verse. I'm just quoting it. Sorry. So let's read it. Quickly, verse 3. Just verse 3. Wait for me now. I'm not there. Okay, among whom also... Okay, let me read it now. Among whom also we all had our conversation in the time past... Just a second. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature, children of wrath, even as others. Amen. You guys are slowing me down. Okay. So, don't forget, these guys were dead and walking. They were dead and desiring things. Look, notice how death is explained. It's explained in lust, desires, deeds, sins. That means the will of man will function. Man will function, it will function spiritually dead. So when God said, you shall surely die, the minute they sinned, did they die? Huh? They did. So when God says, you are cursed, it was to tell them the terms of what they had done. So the curse will be a function of spiritual death. Is that correct? Is that correct? Did God kill them? Did God make them die? No. Are we together? Come on, are we together? Let's move quickly now. Now, we said, now what did Moses see? The first person Moses didn't see, Moses didn't see God clearly. He didn't. For instance, in Genesis 3:15, he said, the seed of the woman will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And because of that, now, when God said that, Adam, Eve, they were also spiritually dead. So whatever they were going to hear, they were going to hear it also in a scare. They were not going to see it clearly. So Eve heard something else. God didn't say anything contradictory, but Eve heard something else. So they made Eve had a child, Genesis 4, and she named the child Cain. What does Cain mean? Cain means I have gotten a man that was seed. I have gotten a man of the Lord. She had contemplated that by a natural conception, Genesis 3:15 will be fulfilled. Now, because that's how she saw what God said. Now, I told you before, I'm going to explain this later, that those things are also for our good. Are you listening? You know, God is quite God. We're quite men. So she, I've gotten a man of the Lord. And so when the man killed his brother, then now he was sent away. She had another child. And she named him Seth. For God had appointed to me, look at Genesis 4:25. He had appointed unto me what? Another seed. Instead of Abel, whom came soon, another seed. She was contemplating. Now, much later, Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of generations of Adam, verse 1, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day which they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. Notice, in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now, notice, in the days Adam lived 130 years, and he died. And Seth also had a child, and he called the child's name Enos. Now, by the time they had Enos, they understood what had happened. Enos means frail, mortal, dead. So they didn't understand the import of what had happened in the garden until that time. So death was never understood. It wasn't understood. Yet it reigned from Adam to Moses. So they called Enos, which means frail, subject to death. So you see, whenever you read the genealogy, if you read the Bible very well, you read genealogies were predictive in nature. It was in an expectation of the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. And that was based on the fact that they didn't have insight on what God was going to do. So this one begat and begat and begat. Notice all genealogies ended with who? Jesus. So when God spoke through a prophet by the name of Isaiah 7:14, he says, I'll show you a sign. A virgin shall what? Conceive and bring forth a child whose name shall be called Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. So that means the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15 was God himself. Moses didn't see that. The incarnation was never preempted. They didn't see it. Isaiah 9:7. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Mighty God. Yet, Jesus came among Jews and he said, I'm God. They were fools, slow of heart to believe all of the prophets that spoke. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1. In him was what? At the beginning, in him was what? No, no, notice that. John 1:1. John 1:1. In the beginning, God was the Word. What was God? What was God? The same, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. That's Genesis. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made by Him. In Him was where? Life. Not light. The life was the light of man. Life, Genesis, of course, the tree of life. The tree of life was Moses' figurative description of Jesus or Christ in Genesis, in God's promise. That's why Titus 1:2 says, the promise of eternal life. So when God offered the tree of life, it was a promise of eternal life. Are you listening? Are you listening? But Moses couldn't see that. Moses saw tree. Because that's what he could see in darkness. So the tree of life is not... No, if the tree of knowledge is good, it's mango. Sorry, if it's apple. Tree of life should be what? Orange. So the two are spiritual issues. Is that clear? They are spiritual concepts, okay? Tree of knowledge of good and evil, sin. The tree of life is life in Christ. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, death by sin. Do you understand that? Is that very clear? Alright. So, we can't rely on a shadow. We rely on the revelation to know what the shadow was coming at. Is that clear? Thank you. So, in Him was life. What? In the Word. What word? John 1:1 is the word logos. It means plan. It means purpose. It means mindset. Okay? So, what was in God's mind in Genesis is life, not death. In Him was what? Life. And the life was the light of all men. So, light is what? Revelation in Christ. So, the first thing we said that Moses didn't see God clearly. Because Genesis 3:15 is God's promise to redeem mankind. And the prophets, you know, they mouthed it again in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:7. And John 1:14 is the fulfillment of that. The Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt amongst us. God with us. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you there? Alright. God with us. Had first been said by God in Genesis 3:15. But Moses said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. But the seed of the woman is God Himself. Hallelujah. Eve got it wrong. Even Adam too. But those things were hidden from them. Bible tells us that if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We're going to see that later. How? Not knowing is to our advantage. All things work together for good. Praise the Lord. Are you still there? So, Moses didn't see what God said clearly. He didn't see what God did clearly. What else did he see? Moses didn't see who the serpent was. He just said the serpent. The serpent, don't forget again, he is in darkness. He cannot see the serpent. He can't see who the serpent was. You saw that last week. He can see who the serpent was. So, let's come back here. Romans 5. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Take good account of this. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. He didn't say sin was not existing. He had just told you, death reigned from Adam to Moses. But sin was not imputed. That word imputed is an important word. It's two words brought together. It means elogio, E-double-L-O-G-E-O, E-double-L-O-G-E-O. It's two words, en and logos. Now, it's used for a past action. Sin is not imputed. There was sin, but it was not imputed. It's used for a past action. When elogio is used, it's not used until a sin has been committed or a wrong has been done. It is just to spell the terms of what you had done, or much more, to state the debt that is owed or the obligation that must be discharged. Now, it's used one more time by Paul in Philemon 1. Philemon? Can it be Philemon 1? Philemon is just one book. Philemon 18. He's talking about Philemon, about someone, Onesimus. He said, if he has wronged you or hold you anything, put it on my account. Put it on my account. Elogio. Put it on my account. Notice. Put it on my account. Now, something had already happened. That means he had wronged you. He had hold you. But I'm saying, whatever he has done, put it to my account. So, elogio means to put it into an account. That this is what has been done. This is the price to be paid. So, whenever the word imputed is used to state clearly a price that will be paid, or an obligation that will be discharged. Please pay attention now. So, go to Romans 5:12 again. Until the law, sin was in the world. Now, was death reigning before the law came? Huh? Come on, talk to me. Was there sin before the law came? Good. So there was sin, there was the law. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Please mark that if you're a student of the Bible, because it's a very important fact. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. It's not charged. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. I've heard someone say this before, ignorantly, that where there is no law, there is no sin. That's not what he said. Is that what he said? Come on, is that what he said? Before the law, there was sin. And there was death. That is, there was a consequence of sin, and there was sin. So, imputing is not referring to the consequences. In this light, imputing is a positive word. We're going to study it, but not today. It's a positive word. Where there is no law, sin is not charged to an account. So, the word impute happens after the fact. So quickly look at this. So we can say, the curse also was not imputed. Is that correct? Is that correct? The curse was not charged to any account. It wasn't. Sin wasn't charged, and the curse, which is the effect of the sin, was not charged to any account. So, let's quickly look at this. The Bible says the serpent, now Genesis chapter 3, says the serpent was the one who spoke to Eve. We found out that the serpent definitely is not an animal. Correct? In that context. Moses only saw the serpent as an animal. But the serpent is the devil. And don't hate snakes because you think Satan has possessed all of them. No. This was a figure of speech there. Alright? a shadow writing by Moses. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now notice this. Notice this. In John 8:44, go to John 8:44. John 8:44. Hallelujah. Now, I told you last week, when you read this one, don't read it for me. How do we read it that it won't look abusive? John 8:44. Let's read it together. John 8:44. Let the whole church read. Let's go. Eh? Start again. They are their father. Is that what is it? Okay, let me read it to you. Oh. Alright, let's go. Let's say again. You are of your father the devil. So when you say you want to say more, let's say again. You are of your father the devil, and the loss of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now, murder means to what? To cause to die. Right? So he says, he was one who caused to die from the beginning. So who was the serpent? The devil. So, did God cause man to die? Can't you just answer simply? Be bold. Did God prompt man to die? Did he cause man to die? Nope. So, the serpent is clear. What else do we see? Man. Man is in the mind of God. Psalm 8, verse 4. It says, what is man? It's verse 4, 6. What is man that thou art mindful of him, nor the son of man that you visit him? So, God's mindset is to redeem man. Two. I'll go back again. Then what else is in Genesis 3? Life. So life in Genesis 3 will be a promise. Would that be correct? Would that be correct? Was life a possession or a promise in Genesis 3? Huh? Why? Because the life is eternal. So in Genesis 3, was life a possession or was it a promise? Be bold now. Was life a possession of man or was it a promise of God? Was it received? Huh? No. So life was a promise. Man was in the mind of God. Okay? Satan was present. Okay? So, life, man, Satan. So man is clear. Life is clear. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. Are you there? Good. That's in Jesus. Man was there in the mind of God. So, that's it. What about sin? Was sin present in Genesis? Huh? Genesis, which one now? Three. Three, sin was present. Was death present in Genesis 3? Yes. What kind of death? Huh? Though I've told you death is death, but for clarity, let's call it what? Spiritual death. So if a man is spiritually dead, can he still be talking? Huh? A man who is not born again today, is he spiritually dead? But is alive? Is alive and dead. Correct? So that means in Genesis 3, Adam was dead, but alive physically. Is that correct? Come on, guys, is that correct? Now, did Moses tell you that? How did you know? How did you know? You guessed. The Holy Spirit told you this morning. How did you know? We just read it. So, this is not a rev. It's not a revelation. It's a revelation written. Is that clear? Alright, good. So, look at, where did death come from? Death, darkness, Look at 1 John. First John 1. Are you in church? Are you in church? Alright. That which was from the beginning, 1 John 1:1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled what? Our hands have handled what? Word of life. Logos of life. Okay, let's take verse 2 together. Everybody, let's go. Verse 2. For the life, everybody now, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bore witness, and show unto you that what? Eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. So, life in Genesis 3, or 2, sorry, was what kind of life? Eternal. Right? But it was a promise. Now, look at verse 3. Verse 3, everybody, let's go. That which we have seen, we declare unto you, everybody, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Alright? Then this is the message, which we have heard of Him, and we declare unto you, that God is what? And in Him is no darkness at all. In Him is no darkness at all. Is that very clear? In Him is no darkness at all. So, the shadow is not in God. Is y'all listening? The shadow is not in God. The shadow is where? Skia now, don't forget Skia. The shadow will be where? So the inability to understand God's mind and to see things is not from God. It came from where? Based on what? Based on sin. Is that clear? Come on guys, is that clear? That inability came from man because of sin. Okay? Now look at James. James 1. And I said that people look at James. James 1, verse 13. So, quickly, before you go further, is there any death in God? Huh? But God can tell you what death is. He said, in the day you eat it, thou shalt die. He didn't say, I will kill you. Is that true? He didn't say, in the day you eat it, if you dare eat it. If you dare eat it. And that shows you something. You see, God doesn't control human will. You will have said that the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat it. You cannot. That means if you want to, I'll remove your mouth. Say, you shall not. If you do, you shall die. So he wasn't controlling his desires. Are you listening? Now, God says, you shall die. He didn't say, I will kill you. So, because God states something, doesn't mean he did it. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Okay, so he said you should die. Now look at James 1. James 1, 13. I want us to read that together. James 1, 13. Are you there? Let's take it together. Everybody please read together. Let's go. Oftentimes when it says, just the folks in front read. Why don't we listen to instruction? Everybody. Let's go. Let no man say, when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Hold up. So God does not tempt with sin. God does not entice with sin. Are you there? He doesn't tempt with evil. Let's take 14 together. Let's go. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. 15. And when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, is it clear? Is Genesis clear to you now? Did God kill man? No. It was sin that brought the curse. Is that clear? Is that clear? It was sin that brought the curse. You can't have darkness from light. You can't have curse from life. Are you following? A curse cannot emanate from God. God can tell you what it is. He can tell you when it happened. He can tell you how it happened. But he didn't cause it to happen. Is someone listening? Are you listening? Good. So no curse can emanate from light and life. No. A curse cannot come from God. A curse cannot come from God. I'm going to explain a verse of scripture to you by Mark. I've explained this before. I think I need to do it again. When Mark said, and Jesus cursed the fig tree. Now, notice that we're going to see it next week because it's going to be, it's part of the series. But let me just quickly tell you. That wasn't a statement made by Jesus. It was an opinion of Mark. We're going to see that. Go back. Let's see this. So it says, death will come by sin. God doesn't cause sin, so God cannot cause death. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Good. So death, a curse, cannot emanate from God. It can come from him, not even accidentally. Now, watch this. Look at Galatians 3. It brings us a thought. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. 19. Wherefore, notice this. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed shall come, to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hands or the hand of a mediator. Look at the word. It was added. Because of what? Huh? The word added means to gather with something. It's a simple word. P-R-O-S-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. P-R-O-S-T-I-T-H-E-M-I. Post-system-I. It's used for something that was not part of a plan. Like to join a foreign object with something. Now, this wasn't part of the plan. The law wasn't part of the plan. It was added. It was added because of transgressions. Now, don't forget, sin doesn't come from God. So, God did not orchestrate sin and then the law and then redemption. No. But God worked in spite of sin and the law. Take note of that. So, a curse does not emanate from God. God can only pronounce life. James 1:17. Every good gift. He said, do not err. James 1:16 says, look at James 1:16. Quickly. James 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Let's take 17 together. Don't err. 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. From the Father who? Light. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow or turn. I close him. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow or turn. So, we know sin cannot come from God, right? Death cannot come from God. Can a curse come from God? Huh? So let me ask you, can God curse someone? We have said all this to get to this point. Why are you now putting on brakes? Is it something that happened to you? Can God curse? Huh? Can God curse? Why? You will stop him if he wants to. Hallelujah. He's joking, really. Can God curse? Okay. Did God curse man? Huh? Did God curse Adam? No, he's a man. He cursed him. If he cursed him, that means he was a murderer. That means he was the one who made him to die. That means he was the one that made him to sin. No. Life and death don't co-dwell. In him is light and there is no darkness at all. In him was life, and the life was a light of men. Now, but how come we not read it that way? That's how you read it. Notice, if you study the Bible, that in the Old Testament there was little information about Satan. Very little. Almost insignificant. For instance, maybe God was talking about the Lucifer. Maybe I'll do that again for you next week. We've done that study already, but let me. The Lucifer we talk about was actually a person. It was a person. It's in the spirit of Christ that we can look back and see the manifestation of Satan. The two accounts, Ezekiel and Isaiah, were actually human persons. Were described. So Satan, the author, was hidden in the actions of men, and nothing was charged to his account until Jesus came. So in the revelation of the Father, you know, by the time we know God, by the time Jesus showed us the Father, we also expose the devil. Are you listening? Because now there's light. All the actors can be seen. Whereas those who grew up in the dark only saw God. Why? Two reasons. Oh, that would be a tough one. But let me just push it. God was the one communicating with them. So, just like Job, you know, Job didn't know who made things happen to him. He said it was God. He said that because that was what he saw. That was the only communication he had. But in Christ, we see the Father, and by knowing the Father, automatically we spot the devil. Amen. So in the revelation of the Father in Christ also comes an exposure of the enemy. You know, Satan did not start existing when Jesus came. That because of the old serpent who was there from the beginning. But nobody mentioned his name until Revelation came. So we're going to expose the curse. Are you ready? When people curse, why does it happen? We're going to see it. Even believers. But we are sick, doesn't come from the Father. It doesn't come from light. It doesn't come from life. A curse can only come from sin. It can only come from evil. It can't come from the Father. Amen? Are you learning something? Quickly, notice this. That all of God's utterances are redemptive in nature. God will help us. When we are through with this, oh Lord Jesus, before now, to look at those utterances very well. With the help of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, we will see clearly. So quickly, in Genesis 1 and 2, we saw that last week, God blessed man, right? He blessed man. He blessed man. He blessed man. God can only bless. God can only bless.
law does not curse. Matthew 5, let's close on this. Matthew 5. So are we all together that we know the Father only in Christ? Who agrees with him? Can you see that? Let me see how you agree with that. We only know him in who? Huh? And we don't know him in parables. We don't know him in proverbs. We know him in plainness. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 5.
We ascribe all the goodness to our Lord God. His work is perfect in all his ways are just.
Matthew 5.
We ascribe all the goodness to our Lord. His work is perfect and all his ways are just.
Yes, we read Matthew 5.
Our God, our faithfulness, without justice, I'm a fool, but you are. Our God, our faithfulness, without justice, but you are.
Matthew 5. Verse 43. You have heard that has been said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. You have heard it has been said by who? Moses. Verse 44. But I say unto you, who is talking now? God. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You have heard, now I say.
We are unjust, human, but you are our God, our faithful. We are unjust, human.
You have heard. Now I see. Love your enemies. Moses can never say this. Bless them that curse you. Hallelujah. Do good to them that hate you. Did you observe that when in Genesis 12, when it was recorded that God said to Abraham, I will curse them that curse you, bless them that bless you. The New Testament does not have I will curse them that curse you. Did you observe it? Doesn't add it. Doesn't add it.
Neither injustice. True and right you are.
Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Who makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good? He sends his rain unto the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward of you? Do not even the sinners the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you have more than the others? Do not heed the publican so, but be perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So who cursed Adam? Who wasn't our Father? Is that clear? All those curses, Deuteronomy 28, don't be God, though. Amen. It doesn't cause. That's the issue. It doesn't. It's not that it doesn't like it. It doesn't cause. It's not that there's a time it can cause. Time it doesn't cause. It has never changed. Amen.
So we praise you, Almighty.